virtue being the Lord. He can set his mind tonight. Tonight makes me think of back home. This is meeting night in my house tonight. I remember last Tuesday night, we had service in our house, and people desired us to, and so we opened up the house. We had 4 to 6 in the room the last Tuesday night. And so now, no doubt, if Brother Allen is there, he'll be speaking there tonight. And I trust if you remember the services there, it looks like from the way they come from distance from places here and there that might have to turn the garage into a meeting house or something. But I'm glad the cause of God is on my heart. I love the cause of God. It's most interesting to me. It's my heart's desire. And I rejoice in it. See, Mike, I love it more than anything I know of, is to be in the will of God and doing His service. I would just like to draw a little here on the board, if you mind. I was just thinking tonight. Thank you. I was just thinking tonight of some of the sad things and some of the wonderful things of life, of what God has done for us. And I saw the time when, and read many experiences of buildings, of being on fire. And before I start, I want to say I trust that someone may locate themselves tonight. This takes in much ground, and I trust that everyone will give close attention, because it is something, it has something to do with most all of us. I saw in the paper many times where buildings were on fire and people go into the buildings after it's on fire to get something out, get something of their values, something that they prize. Something that is dear to them after they know it's dangerous to be in the house. They go back in anyhow. I've read of different ones losing their life and being suffocated in the smoke until they couldn't find their way out of it. Lost in there. I saw once a truck that hit a bridge. Crossed there and you couldn't get to the man, no, on either side, over on the bridge. There he was in view of all, but just sit there, suffocating in the smoke and in the fire. Just had to stand back and watch him, suffocating, burn out. That was hard to see. That's hard to think about. To see anyone knowing they're suffocating, knowing they're in torment, like to help them and can't help them. I trust that everyone will let this bear heavy upon our hearts tonight. And when I think of it, then I had a relation one time that when the house was on fire, rather than to leave the house, get out of the house. She had some valuables. She had things that were dear to her, that she longed, her heart was on. So nothing would do She wouldn't leave the house, but she wanted to gather up her papers. She wanted to gather up in the house what was dear to her. And what she was, her heart was on. But she well paid for it. And now tonight, I just feel like it's on my heart to speak concerning the terrible smoke of confusion there is in the world. There is a terrible lot of confusion in the world. More confusion, tanglements, mixed up, confused minds than ever I've known in my life. Neither I ever heard nor read of. The minds of men and women are confused today. Don't know where they're at. Wandering about. You know what's the matter? They're lost in a confusion of smoke. Don't know where they're at. Can't find a door. Can't find their way out. Don't know what to do. Don't know which way to go. And usually, where there is some smoke, there is something that's causing the smoke. Smoke will blind your eyes. Smoke will suffocate you. Smoke will cause you to lose out, and you don't know where you're at. Sometimes they even use tear gas, something like that, to blind people. Confuse people till they don't know what to do. And so tonight, I'd just like to speak here concerning, maybe you never heard it on this line, but somehow the Lord just showed me on this line, and I can see here there's a great smoke of confusion going up. But I thank the Lord. The Bible says, they that believe shall not be confounded. There's no need of a man or woman, regardless of how much confusion there is in the world, how much differences there is, how many splits there is, how many groups and bunches there is over the country, all that gives no man or woman excuse to be confused in this life. God wants you and I to know, they that believe shall not be confounded. God don't want us confused in this life, and there is a reason why men and women are confused in this life, and that's what we want to talk on, is the smoke of confusion, and then what we can do about that. There's a way to get out of that. There's a way, but remember, there is a move to be made for every man and woman if you stay out of the smoke of confusion. Now over here, let's go to Genesis, the first chapter. We'll begin at the 14th verse. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven. Of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. When I read this, I try in my mind to draw the picture of the beginning of time, when there were no stars in the sky, when there was no moon, when there was no sun, no light of no, to my mind, no description. And when God started and got ready, he put the stars there. He put the moon going over. And in the east, he let the sun come rising up. A great, beautiful light. I tried picturing in my mind what that would look like to a world that was laying in darkness, blackness of darkness. Then all of a sudden, see that great sun rise in the east and light up the whole world. That was a beautiful picture to me. There was no excuse for anyone to know that that sun was shining. I've just drawn here on the board as best I can, rough. I'm not much of anything like that, but I try and draw here. Here's the sun. And there's a pit here, and those that have escaped. And we'll understand it as we go on. And I try to think of it, how that when that sun became, rose in the east and shined on all the earth, that shine till every man and woman could have light. That shine out to where all could have light without excuse. Everyone had the effects of that sun, had the effects of that light shining upon them. All of that. Well, then we notice here in the 16th, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and I look at that greater light is the sun, is the natural sun that goes over and down. The lesser light is the moon that goes over and down. There it was, that great light shining upon the earth. And then we go over here to Genesis, I believe it is 18, and we notice this scripture now. 18, and whenever the light shined upon the earth, it was a wonderful light. It was a great light. There was no excuse for man to say they didn't see it, because there was only one sun, and all could see it plain. Is in view and all of that, but people begin to get into mix-up, doing ungodly things, doing wickedness, all kinds of evil, and all of that. And finally, the great city of Sodom and Gomorrah, the sun shined upon it. One great light shining upon Sodom and Gomorrah, giving plenty of light, a real light to shine on. And as it kept shining on that, the people got wicked. They got bad. And over here, I believe in the 19th chapter of Genesis, and about and when maybe 15, and when the morning arose, the angel hastened. Anyway, Abraham, he stood there and he talked with the Lord. And the Lord talked with him, and he told him that if he could find 50 righteous people in that city, would he spare that city? He wondered if he would spare it.
1823.
Thank you. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? He kept on. He pled with the Lord. Finally, come on down. Drop down 5, I believe it was. He said, Will you spare that city? If I can find 45, he would. I'll spare that city if you can find 45. He dropped on down, I believe, to 40. Will you spare that city if I can find 40 righteous people in it? It was being in a mixed up, confused, a wicked layout. Or just a regular pit of sin. Regular pit of sin, Sodom and Gomorrah was. Keep this in mind. And he said, come on down. And I believe he dropped down. He said, will you spare it if I can find 30? Yes, he said, I'll spare it if you find 30 in there. I'll spare the city. He's still ready. Then he come on, he couldn't find that. I believe he dropped down. He said, if you can spare, find 20. If you can find 20 righteous people, will you spare the city? He no doubt looked over the city or however he took record, but he couldn't find 20. Then he come on down, if I remember right, he dropped down to 10. He said, if I can find 10 righteous people, will you spare that city? I'll spare it for 10. But listen here, in 19 and 15, and when the morning arose, the angel hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Now there was something for them to do to get out of it. He told them, they had their warning. I heard people many times say, yes, I know I ought to do this, I ought to do that. When are you going to do that? That's the next thing. Many will say, I know I ought to do this, I know I ought to do that. So the angel was there. Lot and his wife, his daughters were warned. Get out of that city. Move out. Leave it. And all of that. But there was one in it all that had a treasure back there. She had something valuable back there. She had something back there that was dear to her heart. So when she had left out, they finally at last, they seemed like hesitated to leave. I believe it's that the angel took hold and helped them out of the city. They got out of the city. And when they got back, Lot's wife, she had something dear back there. She looked back. She turned to a pillar of salt. Turned to a pillar of salt. Now he says, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that it said, escape for thy life, and look not behind. You know, I'm glad that God is giving the same warning today. Just as back yonder, because the Bible says in Luke 17, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the day of the Son of Man. Just as they got their warning to escape for your life, get out. It's going to be set on fire. It's going to be burned up. It's going to be destroyed. And the angel was there and on the ground, ready to destroy that. So we find in the 23rd verse, this sun was risen upon the earth. There that same sun was shining, just as bright as it ever did, just as clear as it ever was. This sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone, fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the city, and that which grew up upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Those that were in that horrible pit of sin, Sodom and Gomorrah, they escaped for their lives. They got out. They got out. They got cleared out. Over there, went to the Zoar, I believe it was. Got clear out of the city. They escaped for their life. They'd done what they were warned to do. They'd done what they were told to do. They got out. Left that city when it was to be burned up. And Abraham got up early. He looked way over there towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Just get a picture in your mind. Looked over there at Sodom and Gomorrah at a distance. And Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and beheld it, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. It just rose there. And I somehow come in my mind, I thought, there it all was. The smoke just rose there, just kept going up, just rolling up there. It just covered the sun. The sun went out of sight. I remember one time going through St. Louis. While I was going through over the trailer house, went right through the heart of the city. And before I entered into the city, I well remember that as the sun was shining, I could see the sunshine. But when I got way over into the heart of the city, the smokestacks are going up, factories are going on, all of this, and the air was heavy. There had become so much smoke in the city that finally the sun went clear out of sight. It went clear out of sight. I couldn't see the sun no more. After we got on out of the city, got clear on the outside, I saw the sun again. It come into view. Listen here. Those here that got out of there, escaped for their life, the sun still shines on them. They're still in the light of the sun. They're still in this. The sun is still shining on them. But all in that pit of sin, all that stayed in there, all that remained in there, was consumed, was burned up in smoke, fire, and destroyed. Their lives was destroyed in there. All that smoke going up, it had to go up off of something. It had to go up out of something. And it was coming out of that pit of corruption, that Sodom and Gomorrah, which was sodomy. There it was, an awful condition that city got into. They were warned to escape for their life. They were warned to do that. He even went to his sons-in-laws, I believe it was. And all of that, if I remember right, they scoffed at him. They made light at him. They made fun. And all of that. But yet, at the same time, it went up and they were all destroyed, the city. Folks, I'm glad that there is a few that escapes for their life. I'm glad of it. And I just think there they was. They escaped for their life. They got out of that city. They got over into the land of Zoar. They got out there where they could look back and see the terrible condition of it going on. Now then, we notice another thought. Now we notice we come to another sun. That sun, the terribleness of Sodom and Gomorrah, the horribleness of it, the smoke that went out of it, the sun went out of sight over it. Reasonable and all of that. Well, now let's turn to Malachi 4 and 2. We'll begin at the first verse. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall not leave them neither root nor branch. This is, of course, talking of the judgment day. This isn't speaking of the judgment day. This is spiritual. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. Now, think of that. Just as the natural sun shine upon all the earth, and there, no doubt, they all knew there was one sun. It was clear. But because they didn't escape, but all that did escape out of Sodom and Gomorrah, got out while the terrible smoke was going up, the great smoke, the fire was burning, all those got out was still in the light of the sun. still out in the light, still in the light of the sun, while the others, and I think of it here, when I saw the buildings burning up, the natural buildings burning up, and I see a man in there that's confused in smoke and rock and flames. I'm out in the light looking in there. I see what a pitiful condition that is. I would like to help him out. I would like to get him, but I can't go back in there and get him. I just have to feel sorry for him. I can see his condition. I can look in there and see him suffocating in the smoke. I can see him in there and all that. But he or she cannot see themselves. They cannot see themselves. They're into it themselves, suffocating. But all of that. Well, now then, just as that sun rose in the earth, here comes up another sun. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun spelt the same way, S-U-N, of righteousness. This is Christ now. This is the Son of God. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness with arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And you go over here to Matthew 4, 16 and 17. And notice here in the scripture now. 4, 16 and 17, I believe it is. He says, the people, when this Son of Righteousness arose, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the regions and shadow of death, light is sprung up. That was a rejoicing time, wasn't it? That was a wonderful time to see that light spring up. Just one Savior. They could all see. They could behold him. They could look at him and know that it was the Savior of the world. It was Christ. And all of that. But listen, he says, from that time, after that Son of Righteousness arose with healing in his wings, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's time now to make a move. It's time to do something. It's time to get in. Because listen, I believe as we go on further, this light, this Son of Righteousness here that rose, that will go out of sight just like the natural sun went out of sight. It'll go out of sight. Lose sight of it. But the righteous, it'll still be shining on. It'll still be shining on the righteous. The reason of the will is because of obedience to God's word. Oh, I'm glad that I moved when that light flashed on my pathway. There was one time that light flashed upon my pathway. I knew what I was to do. And without a shadow of a doubt, I began to move it right now. I was glad to move in that light. I just stepped up right now and measured into it. And as I measured and walked in that light, more light just kept coming. I didn't get no light. I've never found no new light or anything like that. But I was just glad to keep receiving more out of that light. I just rejoice in this more of this light that comes on. This is no new light I'm giving you tonight. This is just still light on the body. That's all. Now listen here in Isaiah, I believe it is 60. We go over here, 60 and 1. We still dwell some on this light now. That was the natural light that went out, the natural sun that went out of sight. Well, those that didn't measure up was lost in there. Now here in 16:1, arise, shine, for thy light is come. Oh, I'm glad that when God lets the light shine upon you and I, folks, it's time to be a mover. It's time to do something about that. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. It is shining on you. You have, like one time a man, I asked him, he said he's a hard-hearted man. He's a really hard-hearted. He said he won't go to meeting any place. Well, I said I would like to ask him to go to meeting sometime. Well, I said it won't be no good. He never goes to meeting. He's a hard-hearted man. And so I got a chance. I went to him. I said, "Son, we're having service up here. We'd be glad for you to be out and be with us." "No," he said, "I don't go to meetings. I don't go to meetings no place." "Well," I says, the Lord wants you. He wants to deal with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to give you peace." No, he says, "The Lord never deal with me." "Well," now I said, "if God hadn't dealt with you, hadn't dealt with your soul, he will before you get out of this world." I said, "He'll deal with you. He'll talk with you before you get out of this world, because the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. And teaching us, and denying ungodliness, the word of us, we should live soberly, righteously, in this present world." And I said, "If he hadn't dealt with you, he will deal with you." "Well," I said, "he never did." "Well," I said, "just a minute. Let's consider this a little while." I said, "Do you remember any time in your youthful days, in your young days, when you was young and felt well and all of that, did you ever feel something talking to you, dealing with you, coming to your heart? I ought to do better. I ought to live right. I ought to do different what I'm doing." And I say, "Did you ever think of that way, that something was knocking at your heart, causing you and wanting you not to do this, not to do that, but do something better?" And the tears started down. He began, he said, "Well, I guess I better be going." He remembered the time when he was knocked out. He remembered the time he was dealt with. But he failed to walk in that light. Now he's lost in the confusion of smoke. Don't know where he is. Folks, I've went to many a person in my time. And I get to talking to them and they say, "Well, I know one time I used to be. One time I used to enjoy it. One time I used to love the Lord. One time I had that first love. One time it was real peaceful. Oh, it was so rich one time. But now, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm at. I'm lost. What's the matter?" We fail to walk in life. Fail to make a move when God said move. Fail to measure up when God said measure up. Fail to make that step when God said make that step. The only way that Lot and his daughters ever could have got out of it is they didn't back up when God said get out. They got out. They escaped for their life. They got out there. Now listen. "For behold," now watch it, he said, "for thy light is come, and glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." You have light. You understand. It's clear. It's plain. You see the truth. You understand the truth. All right, measure in that truth and walk in that truth. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness of people." Oh, the time will come when it will cover the earth. But it'll never cover God's people. It'll never cover up God's people. But the gross darkness will cover the people. It'll go into darkness and cover up. Listen here, it pays you and I to walk while we have light, lest darkness overshadow you. Oh, folks, I saw so many take a paper from this company, and a paper from that publishing company, and a paper from that, and tracts of all kinds, radio sermons, and all the kind of sermons coming in, trying to feast on all of them, this and that one. Getting a little good out of this one. Getting a little good out of this one. Finally, I go to them and they say, "I want you to help me out. I don't know where I'm at." Lost in the confusion of smoke. Lost. Don't know where I'm at. Wandering about. I believe it speaks about the stars. Wandering stars. I can't get... Well, yes, sir. Wandering stars, there they are, just wandering about. Carried without water. No water of life in them, just moving about here and there. Lost out. Quiet, bucked up for the root. Shook out, as it were. Died, never no hope no more. Folks, it's a pitiful condition. I've saw many that you just seem like lost in that. But I can say tonight, there's no confusion in my mind. I see the one true living church of God. I see the one true family of God. They would. They'll be spots in your feet. They'll be right among you as fowls among the branches. There they are, all among them, and not know where they're at. I've saw people sit under the gospel year after year, week after week, month after month, and still never know where they're at. I've saw them. You know why that is? Fail to walk in life. Fail to measure up. Fail to make that move when God says make a move. Now let's go over here to John 12 and 35. 12 and 35. Let's notice the scripture. He says, Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is light with you. Not going to be very long now. You've just got light enough to be moving in. Just enough to be making your move and getting ready. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is light with you. Walk while you have light, lest darkness overcome you. Darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Don't know where he's at. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Oh, how valuable is that light! That's valuable. It's real to have that light is shining on our soul. That Son of Righteousness rose with healing in his wings. I believe I can say tonight, I see that one true light just as clear as it was the day I started out with. It's rich to me. It's real to my heart. It has no eclipses come over the sun to me. It's as clear as can be. Do you know, if everyone will walk in the light, measure up, and just keep walking, but it's a whole lot. Like a girl one time, she got out, and she knew what she ought to do. She was aware of the fact. Her mother told her what she ought to do. And she says, she kept putting it off, didn't want to, and all of that. And finally, she come down on her deathbed. Her mother says, daughter, why don't you live right? Why don't you get saved? She said, mother, go to the wardrobe and bring me out that dress in there. Bring it out. I want you to see it. She brought it out with her dress decorated and fixed. All of that. She says, that is what I sold myself for. I sold myself for that. I can't get right. Now I'm lost. I'm doomed. No hope for me. I can't come out of it. No way out of it. I could tell you many experiences where men and women have rebelled, backed up of light, instead of walking in light, just holding back, keep holding back over some little thing, staying back in darkness to hold a few fleeting treasures, just to hold something that's valuable. Oh, folks, I want to say I'm glad I cut loose from everything. Amen. I'm glad I bid the whole world goodbye. I said goodbye, old world, I'm through with you. It means nothing to me. I'm glad I started out. And when I did, I turned my back on the things of this world. He says, be not conformed to this world. And when he said that, I never went to hesitate and saying, Lord, I know that's too straight and all of that. I was just glad to know the truth of God's word, even if it was straight. You know, when a man or woman gets hungry for God's word, it don't matter how straight it is, they love it. They do. They love it straight. Well, it was no trouble for me when I found out that how I was to live, how I was to quit the shows, I just quit them. Whenever I found out that the foolishness of the world is not life, I just walked in the line and I quit. When the light flashed on, when that Son of Righteousness shined on my pathway and showed me things that I had stole, I just paid them back. I just went and straightened it up. When the Lord showed me the things I had taken, a false accusation, all that, I just straightened it all up. When he showed me where I'd lied to someone, told it, I have. I've lied to people when I was in sin, and I'm not the only one that ever lied. Plenty of people is liars. I expect a lot of them under the sound of my voice has been liars. plenty of. We don't. That ain't nothing for anyone out in the darkness to do. Most all of them have. For the biggest percent. And I want to say I had some. When that light shined upon my pathway, instead of rebelling, instead of backing up, I just went and straightened it up and confessed my wrong. I confessed it. Some people may say, well, was you a thief? I sure was. I sure was. But what did Jesus say? I believe in John 10. All that ever came before me was what? Thieves and robbers. And how many did I leave out? Where's that good man now? Where's that good woman, that honest woman, man and woman tonight? All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Folks, I'm glad he took it out of me, though. I'm glad he did. Now, if I'd have rebelled on that, backed up a little bit, and not straightened up my life, not restored all of that, he said, restore the pledge. Give again that you have robbed. Walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity. You'll surely live, you shall not die. I did that. Therefore, life just kept a shining on me. It just kept a shining on me. It just kept a light shining on my soul. Then after a while, I found out that it is wrong. It's just a joke. I was joking. And I thought it was likewise on my pathway. I didn't rebel. I was in the habit of, after I got saved, of saying, I'll bet, and all of that. After I got saved, I thought to myself, now that's an idle word. I got to walk into some light here. And I majored up on that. And by majoring up into that, I left the darkness behind, and I still stayed in the light. I still stayed in the light. After a while, I used to, when I was in sin, I'd roll my sleeves up, roll them up to my elbows, and go around that way. God showed light upon my pathway that he wanted to dress in modest apparel. I rolled them down. I just put them down, and you know, the light kept shining on my pathway. It just kept shining, and never went in darkness that way. Folks, I want to tell you, this is walking in the light. If you don't want darkness to overshadow you, just go back and up. Just go back and up, and darkness will cover you. That's all it is. That's all it takes. Just keep backing up. Now listen, when he kept doing that, and I kept measuring up, going all the way with God, folks, I tell you, the light just kept shining on my pathway. It just kept shining. I didn't get in darkness. After a while, the Lord showed me, one time I had a shirt that was awful thin. Oh, I tell you, when I was in sin, and the Lord showed me he didn't want no transparent. He didn't want this thin. All of that, you know, I just put one on that is thicker. I put one on. They couldn't be seen through. They wasn't transparent. Therefore, I left the darkness behind again and still stayed in the light. I didn't want that darkness to get a hold of me. I didn't want it to get a hold of me. I want to stay in the light. And folks, I tell you, I just kept moving in the light. I'm still in the light tonight. Now listen, this darkness will cover you. He said, walk while you have light. Lest darkness overshadow you, then how great is that darkness. Now I'm going over into Revelation. You take here as Sodom and Gomorrah was set on fire. It was set on fire over there. And you know it went up a great smoke in Sodom and Gomorrah. It covered the literal sun, the natural sun. Let's go to Revelation, I believe it is. And notice this over here now. Revelation 18. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of her wrath, of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. It's getting into a corrupt condition, isn't it? Just like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, way back there. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. Down to the 8th verse, it says here, therefore shall her plague come like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a coming to this now. Therefore shall her plague come in one day, death and mourning, famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire. This isn't a literal fire like Sodom and Gomorrah had. Sodom and Gomorrah was literally, actually burnt up and destroyed. Burnt out. But this is a Holy Spirit fire, setting Babylon on fire today. Burning the whole thing up. Listen, burning with fire, for strong is the Lord of God who judges her. Now watch it close. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived delicately with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. The smoke of going up. There it is. It isn't the smoke you see with these eyes and all of that. It's a smoke of confusion going up out of that pit. Pit of Babylon. It's a raging. It's a confusing in the world. A regular smoke till people don't know where they're at. Smoke. Listen to 18th verse. And he cried when he saw this smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? How are they going to... Listen to 18th verse. And he cried when he saw this smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? How are they going to get out of there? He said, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Just like he told them over there, he told them, come out of Sodom. They got out. The sun still shined on them. The day, the whole Babylonian world is set on fire by the Holy Spirit. It's a burning up today. And if everyone will escape and do just what God says to do, they'll come out into the light of the gospel and they'll not be left in darkness. Let me go over here to Revelation 9, I believe, and 1. He says here, now here comes the change. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. Oh, you remember David one time was in a pit, wasn't he? He was in a horrible pit. God dug him out of a horrible pit and put his feet upon a solid rock. Established he's going. Put a new song in his mouth. He was out where the sun shines. Way out where the sun shines. Where it is a peaceful place. Listen close now. And in a bottomless pit, it's a pit of sin. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. I have this drawn here as a pit, as it were. A pit of sin. He said, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. Now watch what takes place. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. The smoke went up, it darkened the sun. The sun went clear out of sight. The spiritual sun, the sun of righteousness, the smoke had come out of the pit of confusion, and it darkened the sun. The sun went clear out of sight. Folks, it's out of sight with many today. You ask and you say, wouldn't you like to get saved? Wouldn't you like to do this? I don't know which one to go to. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to go to worship. I just take them all in. I go to this place and I go to that place. One, it just looks as good as the other to me. I don't see no difference. They're all look alike. And you know, I want to say here tonight, any man that can't see the difference in this sectarian world, this Babylonian world, folks have lost their vision or never did have it. Folks, I want to say it means something to be in this light. It means something to be in this true light that shines in the world. The smoke went out of the furnace, out of the pit, and rose there, and darkened the sun. And then I believe it said, Revelation 9, he says here, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun This is not your son now. This is the son of righteousness. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. You know, I tell you, it pays for man or woman to walk in the light. Oh, how many I saw in my time. That woman in Canada, I can't help it. She bears on my mind so much. There she was. She took bleach. She took tracts of this kind. She took tracts of that kind. She took a lot of kind of papers. She listened to them over the radio. She done this and done that. She says, now if you can untangle me, if you can straighten me out, I'm going to whirl them out. I don't know what to do. I don't know what next to take. I don't know what road to take. I don't know where I'm at. I'm confused. I'm bothered. I'm sick about it. I don't know what to say next and all of that. And finally kept on, until she got devil possessed. Then the next thing she had to have hand on the devils come out. Oh, when the devils come out and she got back to the one true way again, the light still shined bright. The light was same as it ever was. That sun of righteousness has been, that natural sun back there was a shining just as bright over Sodom and Gomorrah it was before the smoke went up. And yet they was left in darkness, that today the sun of righteousness is a shining just as bright as he ever did. The one true church is sitting on a hill that cannot be hid just as much as it ever was. The view of the Mount Zion, the city of God, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, standing out in view, plain and clear to the man and woman that will walk in the light. Without a spot or without a blemish or any such thing, standing out there just as clear as can be. Some may say that, oh, I know that there's a lot of little groups here and little groups over there and all of that. Did you know it doesn't take just natural big Babylonian, the sectarian world, to make Babylon, where two or three are in discord, in disagreement, and all of that? That's Babylon. Babylon. It don't have to be down to a sectarian movement where differences is. Oh, I thank the Lord. Those that all come out in Sodom and Gomorrah, all that escaped Sodom and Gomorrah and come out into life and come over to Zoar, they were all together in harmony. They were all in agreement. They were all in peace. Just so it is today, everyone that escapes Babylon, escapes of all the confusion and all that, gets out of there and comes to Zion, it's all a peaceful habitation. And the sun, well, you know, Isaiah 60, I believe in 20, it says, our sun shall never go down. Folks, if we haven't got true light tonight, if the light isn't shining in our soul, if we are not at peace and our soul is not happy, if we're not enjoying the Christian life and really experience life on His Word, there is something wrong. Amen. There's something wrong. Folks, did you know there's a lot of people in this day of time, just because iniquity is about, just because some will measure up, this one rebels and that one rebels, this one backs up and that one backs up. So much rebellion in the world, so much differences in the world, and so much iniquity abounding, the love of many is waxing cold. Oh, listen, I saw the time when I went in meeting houses, when people was in the light, and the fire was burning in their soul, that there I've counted as many as five on the floor shouting. I counted one time five on the floor shouting. So much fire. So much joy, so much peace, so much happiness. And now you can't hardly hear amen. Hardly ever hear a praise God. Folks, I tell you, there's something wrong. There's something wrong when you can't hear from people. There's not enough sacrificing. He said, let us give the sacrifice of praise, which is a fruit of our lips. You know, I want to say here tonight, when I come out of darkness, got over into that light, got out there where the happy redeemed dwell, it put a praise of God upon my lips. It got happiness in me. It put joy flowing in my soul. Oh, I tell you, if it got back to where it was, when Jesus healed 10 lepers, he healed the 10 lepers, and he turned around, and one of them turned around and thanked him. Just one, he turned around and offered a sacrifice. He said, wasn't there 10 healed? Wasn't there 10 got healed? Where's the 9 at? Where'd they go to? I don't hear nothing from them. Then the Bible say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and you don't hear much about it. Very still. Folks, now listen here. I love Nod's all right. I like head shakes. Or I like that thing. But listen, I like what come out of the mouth. I like that too. All right. Be heard. God wants to hear it, doesn't he? I couldn't see. If I'd cover my eyes up, you might be shaking your head, all right, and all that. But I couldn't hear that. God wants it to let it roll. Open your mouth and let it roll. Let it come forth. Praise God. Folks, I'm delivered from all iniquity. The redeemed from all sin. Out in the light of the gospel. You know why so many, they fail to have a preacher follow them? Listen here. Man, walking back here in the dark like Peter was afar off. He was going too far back, too far away. Get right up in the light of the gospel. Right where it's shining bright, clear. All of that, you feel good in the light. I never did like in dark. I was like in a real light. And it put a praise of God on my lips. I believe it over here in Hebrews 13 and 15, this sacrifice, I want to say, is losing out in the world. And many of them that claim to be saints of God are failing on this. He says here, looking to, maybe that's 13 and 15. He said, by him, therefore, let us offer this sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks unto his name. Why do we need to do that? Why is it necessary to praise God and give thanks unto his name? Well, listen here. We ought to all be praising God for being out in the light. We ought to be happy. I rejoice in it. I never do leap and shout and all of that. But listen here. Sometimes is it all I can do to keep just leaping for joy. But it's not in me. It's not my makeup and all of that. But listen, I do. I do love the cause of God. Let's go over here to Isaiah 59, I believe it is, and 10. And notice the scripture now. 59 and 10. He says, we group. Now listen here, what darkness will do. We group for the wall, like the blind, and we group as if we had no eyes. Don't know where it's at. Don't know where the door is. Can't find it. You let a man be lost in a building and try to find the door in smoke, it's hard to find that door. Here's a man. He says that we group for the wall, like the blind. We group as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places and as dead men. Don't know where to go. If you could see the many that I have met with out in traveling about that is mixed up and confused and they take on, they say, well, now here's a great big healing campaign over here. Oh, they're doing a lot of miracles. They're just healing. Oh, it's terrible. They have to be of God. That's all it is. The biggest percent of it is a pitiful of sin, the smoke going out of there. Just something confused the mind of men and women. Oh, listen here. When a man or woman finds the true light and walks in the true light, your hunting and roamings is over. You don't hunt for something else. I'm not hunting for some other way. They don't excite me. Though they say that, like Elijah, I believe it was said, the wind blowing, or it reefed the rocks, I think it was. Now, after a while, something else. I forgot just what all it done. The wind tore up the rocks and I believe a great earth fire or something. I don't know what all it was. But what was that?
Earthquake.
Earthquake and a fire. Well, it looked like the Lord surely is in all of that. Looked like surely is in that earthquake. You tear the rocks up. The fire and wind and burn things up and shake things around. Looks like God is surely in that. God's walking in that door. But after all of that, a still small voice. Oh, that still small voice. I remember when I was seeking the Lord. I heard a great big meeting. I heard of this. I heard of that. Big excitement and all of that. But finally, when the Lord spoke peace to me, it was a still, quiet, small voice. But it was enough that my sins rolled away. It all rolled away. Oh, listen, there is too many are looking for some excitement. They're looking for the Lord and seeking Him among the dead. He's not among the dead. He's among the living today. Over here in Jeremiah 13 and 16. Let's notice the scripture here. 13 and 16, I believe it is. He says, hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God. Now God wants us to give glory to Him. Give praise to Him. Give thankfulness to Him. Shout for joy, because listen, if we don't, what's coming? Give glory to the Lord your God, and glory to the Lord your God before He caused darkness. Darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountain. D.S. Warner preached from that text one time, several years ago. He started out, it was his text. He preached from that very scripture to an audience of people and pictured the great loss of people being stumbling way out on the dark mountains of sin. He pictured it before their minds, thinking of how it would be to stumble about here and there, lost in darkness, way out on the dark, black mountains of sin. So he took this text, the 16th verse, give glory to the Lord your God before He caused darkness before your feet, feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while ye look for life, and He turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Oh, listen, I'm glad I walked in that life. I'm glad I moved when life comes. I talked to different ones and want to know why they don't change. Just like a girl one time, she looked at the minister, she listened there, she knew what she ought to be doing. She realized she ought to be measuring the truth of God's Word. The tears run down her cheeks as she sat back and listened. She watched it close. Just kept a watching close and the tears running down her cheeks. She couldn't get her eye off of the preacher. It was serious thing. She was taking it in. She was drinking the Word of God. It was serious with her heart. She was sincere about that. All the tears run down her cheek. But she saw the price that it would take. She saw what it would cost. She kept pushing it back. Just kept pushing it back. Some other time, I know I ought to do different. I know I ought to be better. I know I ought to make a change. I see the light tonight. I understand it. I plainly understand it all. I know I ought to make that step. But she just kept putting it off. All the tears run down her cheeks. She kept coming to meeting, but putting it off. All of that. Finally, she came back to meeting. She had it settled. But settled in the wrong way. She came back to meeting. While the preacher got up, he laid it down, explained it. He told her what a pitiful condition it is, what it means to walk in the light. She sat back in the congregation and looked at him in the face and just smiled at him. Her heart was like a flint. She hardened her heart. She hardened it by an adamant stone. There she was, just as hard. She could seem like the word of God, like hitting a rock, just bounce off. Seemed like couldn't do nothing. There she was, just look at him and smile. I'm glad I moved in this life. I appreciate the light of God's word. And I don't want nothing. It don't matter how little it may be, how great it may be, if any man or woman put your finger on my line and say, you're short here, you're short there, which I would be glad. I would appreciate anyone, if you see anything in my life, come to me instead of the other fellow. I would be glad to be talked to. You know, that's one thing. God flashes light on our pathway to Bridelock Town, don't he? He flashes light to Bridelock Town. Oh, there's too many loose tongues in the world. God wants you and I, go to your brother, go to each other, help each other, bear with each other, and listen here. I would be glad if anyone can show me anything in my life, I would be glad to move up. I would be glad to measure up. I don't want to go back in darkness. I don't want in that darkness. I mean to stay in the light. Oh, that light means a lot to me. Walk in the light while you have light. Are you satisfied tonight that you're walking in all the light that shines on your pathway? Are you fully satisfied? Are you just, you're sure you've got that first love? You know, he says, I have somewhat against you. You've lost that first love. That first love will keep us all together. That first love will keep us walking in the light. That first love will keep us tender. That first love will help us enjoy the Christian life. That first love is a great thing. That first love. And you know, I've heard many tell me, I know I'm not where I once was. I'm not where I used to be. I've lost that. I'm back there. What's the matter? Lost in the confusion of smoke. Mixed up, tangled up. Oh, I would be glad for everyone that knows they've lost out and turned to the beggarly elements of this world. Stepped aside, sidetracked, derailed, or anyway, is waxing cold, unconcerned. Now's a good time to get back to the Lord. Oh, I see, I talk to different ones, and it makes my heart ache, like it was a man in Kansas City one time. Up there, my car was broke down, and I had it been worked on. I couldn't work on it then. I didn't have the change of clothes with me. And there I was. I had to work on some men. Well, I walked around and standing before them. While he was there, they're looking on while it worked. He says, I began to speak to them and preach to them while I was gathered around. And as I kept talking to the men as they worked there on the car, finally one man stepped up. He said, after this, all the other men went away, then a man stepped up before me. He said, you know, one time I could have got a message out of what you're saying. Well, I thought to myself, he must be a preacher. And I says, well, you must be a minister. Yes, he says, I'm a preacher. Well, I says, what are you doing? No, he says, I'm a preacher. Well, he says, but you know what I've done? He didn't want none of them other people to hear him around there. He waited till they went away. He stepped up to me alone. He says, you know, I've lost all the love for that word of God out of my heart. I've lost it all. Don't have no love for that word of God in my heart. It's all gone. Well, I thought how pitiful that was. He says, you know, I've actually fell asleep. He says, I'm sound asleep and lost all the love for that word of God out of my heart. You know how he done it? Little by little, he kept staying in darkness, failing to get out, failing to walk in line, failing to step up. And he just kept holding back till finally he was covered with darkness. He says, I've lost all the love for it out of my heart. Oh, he says, I've actually fell asleep. Why, I said, what are you doing? I felt sorry. for him. I said, what are you doing? Well, he says, I'm pastor of a congregation over here in Kansas City. Pastor of a congregation over in Kansas City. Sound asleep. Lost all the love for the Word of God out of his heart. Still going on. Folks, these things don't start in big things. They start in little things. The same as one time I went in a pen, in a prison. When I went back in that prison, there I was, back in there, two colored men, facing the gallows. They're soon to be hanging at the end of a rope. And I talked to them about their soul. They were serious. There was no smile on their face. They was facing eternity. Eternity was just staring them in the face. I said, talked to them a while, and after advising them and trying to get help to them in the pen, he says to me, he said, I would like to mention something to you. There both of them was in there in just a matter of a few hours, and they'd be hanging at the end of the rope. He says to me, I would like to give you just a little advice while you're in here with me. I says, all right, I would be glad. He says, no doubt, thought maybe someday I might step aside.